This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Brian Walker, President and CEO of Kansas Food Bank. Welcome to Issues 2024, Brian.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for having me here today.
Yeah. I'd like to start this program with some basic background. For instance, how about what is the Kansas Food Bank?
So the Kansas Food Bank, we actually turned 40 years old this year. We are the state's largest nonprofit hunger relief agency. And what we do is we basically purchase food and we collect donated food locally and from across the country. And then we take that food and we supply it to a base of agencies, over 700 partners in 85 counties of the state, who then in turn help put food on the table of food insecure families. And we do that through a number of different programs.
How long has the food bank been around, Brian?
Yeah, so 40 years. We're celebrating our 40th birthday this year, so quite a while. We've been doing this work, and we just see steady growth in the number of folks that are food insecure.
Can you tell us how the food bank started back 40 years
ago?
Yeah,
so basically, there were some layoffs in the aircraft industry 40 years ago, and the leaders in the aircraft industry at that time, you know, Boeing, Cessna, and Beach, they got together and they said, hey, we're putting these people out on the street. We need to do something for them. And the president of Boeing, Wichita at that time, had visited a food bank in Seattle. And he came back and said, this is the perfect model. So that, the first year of operation, they distributed about 100,000 pounds of food. And most of that was to aircraft workers. And then jump forward 40 years, we distribute about, 15 to 17 million pounds of food to 85 counties of the 105 counties of the state.
That was my next question. How big an area do you serve? You just told me 85 counties, which is the majority of the state then, huh?
Yeah, exactly. We do everything except the northeast corner. There's a sister food bank that we work with called Harvesters, and they take care of Kansas City, Topeka, Lawrence. So the line is kind of drawn. We take care of Junction City and they take care of Manhattan. So we sometimes say we have the hard part. We have a lot less population in the area that we serve out in our rural areas. But folks in rural, hungry folks in rural areas are just as important as folks in the urban area of Wichita and surrounding counties.
How many individuals and families do you think you help in a typical year, Brian?
You know, it runs about 250,000, I believe, unduplicated. We supply food year round. And so the number of meals you could take, let's say we're doing 15 million meals and the average meal is, I'm going to put your math skills to test. The average meal is 1.2 pounds. so quite a few meals that we're serving every year.
How does somebody qualify for a meal? What do they have to do?
So it just depends. So we have an agency base that we serve for in Wichita. For example, we help supply food to United Methodist Open Door and Lord's Diner, the soup kitchen. And each agency that we call it that we serve, they are their own not-for-profit. So it may be the person's church food pantry down the street, that helps maybe 30 people a week, or it could be an agency that helps 400 people a week. And so each one of those agencies has their own guidelines, right? And so they have different income guidelines. But if you go on to our website, Kansas Food Source is a website we just created, and that list shows all the agencies in our 85 counties, and you can drill down on that, and it tells you what kind of information you need to take with you. So some of them base it on the percentage of poverty, and some of them just you tell them you're hungry, and they'll get you food.
You're more or less a wholesaler out to the final exposure to the customer then, huh?
Right. So if we were in the retail world, we don't sell food, but if we were, we'd be like the warehouse.
Yeah.
And then we'd have all these little partners in all these different communities or in neighborhoods around our service area.
So how many employees do you have at the food bank, right?
So right now we're at 32. Most of those are drivers. We pick up food all around town that's donated, and then we also, of course, deliver food. So we have to deliver food to our more less populated areas of the state. So we're running about 30 different delivery routes a month that we deliver food on, and we deliver directly to the agency door. So if you're in Northwest Kansas or Southwest Kansas or Southeast Kansas, if you're a feeding agency and you're a partner of ours, you put your order together. Our inventory is live online here at the food bank, and you put your order together or in the system. We put your order together and deliver it to you.
Now, you've been my guest on this show several times over the years, and we try to get you. I try to get you on around Thanksgiving when people are really, really focused on the harvest and food and thanks. And would you please assess the need for food assistance in South Central Kansas this year?
Yeah, you bet. So what we're seeing in the Wichita and the surrounding areas, South Central areas of Kansas, is, you know, we went through this big influx with COVID, and then we never saw it diminish. And so we think the biggest factor right now that we're dealing with is inflation. And we're actually seeing numbers of folks coming for assistance higher than they were through COVID. And what we're really seeing is the amount of seniors increase. So seniors used to be about 8 to 10% of the folks we're serving, and now that's running as high as 25%. The only thing that we can relate that to is, you know, lots of seniors are on fixed incomes, and so with inflation and the prices of things, their income hasn't adjusted for that. And so more and more seniors are asking for assistance. And then another key thing we look at is the number of kids served, and we're seeing record numbers in our Food for Kids program, a number of kids that have been identified as needing assistance. And so we just think it's the economy overall, that a dollar, as we all know, just doesn't go as far as the grocery store as it used to. And so that's creating some increased needs.
Brian, what is a food desert? How do you define that?
So they define that in different areas depending on what part of the state. But let's say you're in the Wichita urban area. It's defined as like you're a mile from a grocery store and having limited transportation to get there. So basically what that's saying is if I don't have any transportation and it would be over a mile for me to get to a grocery store. So not a corner store, not a Quick Stop, but like a regular Dillon store or Sam's store or something like that, where you would have the same choices and the same quality of food as folks that do have transportation or that live closer to that store. So that's basically what a food desert is in the Wichita area.
So if you live out in one of the nicer suburbs and you're a couple of miles away, but you've got reliable transportation, right?
Yeah, so that's the big deal. It's right. It may be there's no public transportation, or there may not be, you may not have your own transportation. So that's where that term comes from. And so here at the food bank, what we've done with a couple of our areas like that is we run different mobile pantries now in different areas of those communities once a month to supply them with fresh produce and, you know, a box of food. It's not something that's going to get them for the month, but it's a supplement in case those folks are running short and can't get to the grocery store.
How many local food sources do you actually have? Can you tell us?
So in the city of Wichita, when you say food sources, I'm just going to talk about places you can go to get food, like a food pantry or a soup kitchen.
No. I mean, where do you get your food from?
Oh, where we get it from. So we get Cargill is a food donor, of course.
Yeah.
Dillon's is a food donor through their warehouse. And then we pick up food at retail locations. So it's called Food Rescue. And so we pick up product at the grocery store that's still good, but not good enough to be on their shelves. And so they'll save that product, whether it be produce, meat, dry goods. And then we run around town every day and pick all those stores up. Dillon's, Walmart, Costco, just about anybody that is in the grocery business, we pick that up. So that's our biggest food sources locally. And then folks like yourself or your company that might do a food drive, right? So your church might do a food drive for us, or the business might do a food drive, Boy Scouts, those kind of places. They'll collect food, either bring it to the food bank or we'll go pick it up. So that's basically our local sources of food. You're listening, and then what we purchase, of course.
And you purchase, okay. And you're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Brian Walker, President, CEO of the Kansas Food Bank. I don't know if I don't think I asked you this at the top of the show, but how are you? How do you pay the bills, Brian? What's your income there?
Yeah, so, you know, we have about an $8 million cash budget. That doesn't include food. And, I mean, that includes the food we purchase. That doesn't include donated food. And so we are a privately funded organization. We have two government contracts that it's reimbursable, so we don't receive government funds just to do food. But we rely a lot on individual donors. And we rely a lot on our local companies that support not only us, but other not-for-profits. And then we write a lot of grants. So we're a private not-for-profit. What we are we like to brag about is, you know, roughly 97% of everything we raise, it goes into programs. So we have some of the best numbers in the business. And so that way, if folks are donating their hard-earned dollars to us, they know that it's being put back to work, providing the programs that we do that help feed people.
In your distribution, did it stay basically the same as you get into the holiday season, when I would think there might be a little more demand? What do you think?
Yeah, so we do. We see an uptick during the holiday season for a number of reasons. Now, it doesn't mean, I always like to tell people, it doesn't mean there's, you know, 10,000 more hungry people in Wichita, Kansas. But like all of us and all the folks we serve is, you know, we're all going to sit down for a nice Thanksgiving dinner. So we see an increase in need there, that agencies are needing more food to provide that meal to families that are in need. And then we also see in the holiday season that kids are out of school more. You know, there's a longer break for Thanksgiving. There's a longer break for Christmas. And every time that we see a break in the school system, a lot of our kids rely on breakfast and lunch at the school system. And then if they're at home, then that puts an additional strain on families that are already struggling. So we'll see an increase at those times as well. Plus, we've been pretty lucky this year. You know, we're not seeing cold temperatures till this week, really. But we always see a big increase when people have to start spending double on their heating bills. And, you know, that really puts a pinch on their food budgets when you're doing those kind of things.
Talk a little bit more about feeding the kids. Do you have a special program for that, or go ahead?
Yes, we do have. We have a Food for Kids program. Actually, I think it's 15 years old this year. And basically, we're in roughly 350 to 400 schools across our service area. We have a volunteer in each school that identifies the children that they feel are at risk of not having enough food over the weekend. So it's not a government program. It's not an entitlement program. These students are identified by a professional in the school that they don't have enough food to eat over the weekend. So what we'll do is we'll purchase food. We use thousands of volunteers to pack these packets, and we'll provide a packet of food to these schools that are in the program for every Friday during the month. So when the kid goes home on Friday, he gets a packet of food, gives him something for his belly during the weekend, so he comes back to school on Monday ready to learn. It's a great program. It's not real expensive, but it's pretty cost effective, but it still costs us anywhere, depending on the cost of food, from $6 to $8 a week to provide that. But we feel anything you invest in our children is well worth the money, if we're expecting them to come to school and be ready to learn.
Tell us about feeding seniors. What have you got special going on there?
Yeah, so we have a number of different senior programs. One we probably haven't talked about is we do some senior mobiles now, where especially in the rural areas, where we'll go to a low-income senior housing. The folks there will do a mobile distribution, so our truck will show up. We'll do fresh produce, a few dry goods, so they can have access to that food, because most of them don't have the transportation and stuff to get to the store, or don't have the money to buy fresh produce. So that's a program we started. But our other couple programs are our Bob Box program, which we started a number of years ago, which is named after former Senator Dole. people in the rural areas of Kansas trusted Senator Dole, and when he was still alive, he had helped us fund that for 3 years, so we named it after him. But we placed boxes of food in health centers. I'm losing my brain on the word, but so when they're going to the health clinic, they're identified as not having enough food, and they're given a box without even having to ask for it. Lots of seniors won't ask for help because they're worried about being taken out of their home or whatever it might be. And so they're just given it freely and they don't have to ask for it. We don't see too many people that get a box more than once a year. They're just going through a circumstance in their life that they have to visit the health department, and so they're identified. Another one is it's called Commodity Supplemental Food Program. That is an age-based and income-based program. We do about 950 of those a month. We do all the identification to make sure that they meet the guidelines, and then with volunteers, we put together a box of food and get those distributed to, I think it's about 20-some counties, and about 950 people every month. So kind of taking care of both sides of the spectrum, kids in the school system and our seniors that have given so much to us, and just helping them get through, you know, whatever they may have to get through that month.
You touched base, I think, on this a few minutes ago, mobile food pantries. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we have a couple different models. One of our models for the rural areas are if we don't have a fixed-based pantry, we have volunteers, though. So we'll put together pre-made boxes of food and put produce with it. And our driver will go to, it might be Solemn Springs, drop the stuff. We have volunteers do a distribution ride at that time. Our driver's on down the road. Here in the Wichita area, we have a number of them in town. It's on our website. You can see, or our Facebook page, you can see where they're at. And basically, Urban League is one of them. So once a month at Urban League, we provide produce boxes so folks have access to fresh, nutritious produce and some dry goods. And folks can just drive through the mobile pantry. So it's like a pantry on wheels. Our truck shows up. People are in line. They do their intake. They do an intake on computers now. It's all done electronically. And then they can get their food. Then we have one other model we do in Wichita, and they're produce mobiles. And every Friday is a different location throughout the city. And because we're not open on Saturday, Sunday, and there's very limited feeding agencies open on Saturday and Sunday, we don't want that produce to go bad. So anything that we've collected on Friday, we take to these different mobile produce pantries, and we'll distribute about 8,000 pounds of produce every Friday at a different location throughout the city, and that keeps the food from going to waste. Plus, produce is expensive in the grocery store, and it enables us to help put it on the table of families that are just struggling.
What are your mobile hygiene pantries, Brian?
So we just had one last Saturday, so the third Saturday of every month, we use the Lord's Diner facility on South Hillside by the old Joyland. And we put together a bag of different kind of hygiene items. So soap and laundry detergent, razors. We have different kind of items. And then folks cannot buy those items if you're on food stamps or SNAP. So if folks are struggling and are on SNAP, they still need to have those hygiene items. And so we'll provide those items in a pre-made sack. They can come to the distribution site. And then we have choice items, too, like baby diapers or adult diapers and those kind of things that people might need. Just enough. It's not to supply them for a month, but it's just to get them through a period of time in the month where they just might not have enough funds to purchase those items.
Here's a big question for you. There's something like more than 8 billion people on this planet now. Is there enough healthy food available to feed everybody on Earth, Brian?
Let's put it this way. There's enough food available to feed everybody on Earth. I guess healthy is in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, yeah.
Our goal at the food bank is to provide the healthiest foods that we can, because we know that if folks are struggling with heart disease, high blood pressure, they need healthier options. They need, you know, if the corn in the can has no salt, or the fruit has no sugar, or fresh produce or high or good for you proteins, we can, over time, if we can help change their health, we can decrease the lines of folks at the pantry. So, so that's my answer to that question. That may not be the answer you were looking for, but I think that there's lots of food in this country that, especially produce, that maybe gets turned over or doesn't get harvested. And one of those things that we do is we work with growers and packers for them to donate that produce to food banks, and then we can in turn get that on the table of folks that need it.
Tell me about volunteers and how they help you.
It takes monetary donations and food donations for us at the food bank to work, but it also takes our volunteer base. I spoke a little bit earlier about the percentage of funding that goes to programs. One of the reasons we can do that is because we have a very large volunteer base. They come in, they pack boxes, they make the food for kids packets we talked about. They make our mobile pantry boxes we talked about. They rebag produce, just about anything we need them to do. And so volunteers are just as important to us as the monetary donations, because if we don't have them, we can't get the job done. And so it's thousands of volunteers every month. You know, just yesterday, I think, and for 2 hours during the day, we had over 100 people, but we had at least 30 in here the rest of the time. So it just takes lots and lots of folks to get done the work we need to get done in a cost-effective manner. And so we're very blessed to have the volunteer base we have. If somebody's interested in that, they can go to our website. There's a volunteer link. Individuals can sign up on their own. If it's groups, it'll tell them to give us a call so we can plug them in at a time that works. It works well for us.
What's your biggest challenge as we go into the last couple of months of the year?
Our biggest challenge?
Yeah.
Food, right? I mean, although,
yeah,
because we're having to, I mean, and I say that is we just keep purchasing more and more food, and the amount of donated food isn't as high as it used to be. You know, I mean, that's been flat now and declining for 5-6 years, right? And so food is our biggest, I mean, we're just ordering and ordering and ordering. And so that is our biggest deal right now. So when somebody says to us, what kind of foods do we want to collect? And so we can go look and say, hey, well, we need canned fruit, or, you know, peanut butter is always easy, those kind of things. So it's really all about food and what we do. And so that's really our biggest challenge. And then just the cost of doing business, right? I mean, our fuel costs are higher, just like everybody else. The amount of insurance we have to pay has gone up drastically. You know, all those things that consumers see in their own lives, we see at the food bank. And what we can't do at the food bank is we don't have any way to raise our price, right? Our price is pretty much set at zero. So how do we make up for that?
And your webpage, again, to get in touch with you real easy, how do you do it?
KansasFoodBank.org. That has all of our information on it. You can email address, how to reach out to us, how to do a food drive. And then KansasFoodSource.org, which is it's the newest website. And that's all about where to get food. So it's okay. A Google map for somebody that's looking for help with putting food on their table.
Brian, hey, thanks for being with us. Our guest, Brian Walker, President and CEO of the Kansas Food Bank. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.